Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This is Elder Neil Phelan, Jr., preaching from regular Sunday morning services.
Good morning. Appreciate the good song service and the prayer and Brother Dan's remarks about the foolish. The fool says there is no God. Well, there are some foolish people even among Christians, you might say, and they would say that, well, the Word of God's irrelevant. There are some Christians that believe in God. But yet, when you really get into looking at the Word of God, there's a lot of things in the Scriptures that they reject. And so this morning I want to look at that. If you have your Bibles, let's look at 2 Thessalonians 2:15. We're going to start there this morning. I'll give you an opportunity to turn over to that passage of Scripture, one of the Pauline epistles, which we're going to look at several of those this morning. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now here is the Apostle Paul writing a letter to the church at Thessalonica. And this is only a few years after the very establishment of the Christian church. And he's encouraging this church to stand fast in the things that they had been taught by him. Isn't it amazing to think that in the very beginning of the church, that just a few years after it was established, that there were those that were already departing from the things that Christ himself taught them and the apostles had taught them, which we understand to be inspired. And this morning I want to begin a series of messages on why we do the things we do. It's very pastoral. It is an answer to some of our critics, but is also an encouragement to our people, because sometimes we do things and even we ourselves can forget why we do them. And this is not going to be one of those we're right and you're wrong messages. This is going to be something I'm going to give you as a member of this church, that you'll understand why we do the things that we do and why we may not do some things that others may do. And there's about 8 things I want to deal with in this series of messages, and we're probably not going to get very far into them today because I want to first establish the importance of what we've just read to you, of holding on to the things that the apostle and Jesus Christ taught the church. I'm going to address the subject of Sunday schools. A lot of people want to know why we don't have Sunday schools. And many times we're criticized for that. And so I want to go into that in detail and give you scriptures for it and go into some really interesting things that you may not know about. The second thing is seminaries, why we don't have seminaries. I'm going to go into that, hopefully, in great detail. Our song service, why we do the things we do in our song service. Our doctrine of salvation, which is very different from other Christian beliefs. I want to go into the doctrine of regeneration, or how people are born again, which is very different from other Christian faiths. I want to go into the second coming of Christ, which is very different from other Christian faiths. I also want to go into, as I mentioned, song service, but also the church discipline that we have had as a church. These things are very important. They're very scriptural. This has been on my heart for a couple of years, really, all these things. And a lot of times when we're talking about these subjects, we just throw things out there in passing, and we don't go into great detail about it. And as a pastor, I realize that one of my faults is that I assume everybody knows the answers to all of these things. But it's been on my conscience to realize that everybody doesn't know these things. Everybody doesn't understand why we do these things. Nobody here is unhappy with the way we do them. But on the other hand, I need to reinforce your faith that you would know why we do these things. And I know there's a lot of good people out there that we love that would differ with us on these subjects. People we love, people we respect, people with good hearts, people that are God's children, and we respect them for those things. We know that they love the Lord. But on the other hand, we look at this epistle, and we are told by the Apostle Paul that we are to stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. And so I want to go into these things and for us to see Does the Bible address these subjects in any way? Yes, it does. And so what does it say about these things? And as we look around us today, and if you've looked around, you can see that there are huge changes in the Christian church going on every day, right? You can probably visit a number of Christian churches this morning, and their way of worship and their doctrine and the things they do are going to be quite different from what you're seeing here today, right? So the question is, are we doing things the way we should do them? You know, this is not just, as a pastor, I want to make sure that the things we do are correct, and I want you to feel that way as well. So I hear you saying things to me sometimes about why we do things every now and then. So anyway, we had a Filipino conference, not for last, on Zoom. And there were about four American ministers on there, myself being one of them. And there were about 56 Filipinos, ministers from India, other countries that were on this Zoom meeting. And I already had thought about preaching on this subject. And of all the things that they went to this very verse of scripture here in the book of 1st and 2nd Timothy that teaches this as well. And I thought, well, there's some confirmation for me that I'm on the right track in this message. And one of the reasons that they went into this was because we are establishing churches over in the Philippines. And it's very important for us in the ministry to be sure that these churches that are being established in the Philippines, these new churches, are established with the right doctrine, the right practice, the things that were given to us by Jesus Christ and by the apostles. And so as a church today, we've been here, this church has been here for over 100 years. But the church itself has been here for 2,000 years since Christ. And if the Apostle Paul is dealing with doctrinal problems and practice just a few years after Jesus Christ, do you believe that there may be some things going on today that may not be according to what Paul taught? Obviously, there are, and we see them changing very rapidly. Now, I heard one person say one time when we were talking about the different churches, and he said, well, we just all worship the same God. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, in one sense, we are worshiping the same God. We believe that it is the God that created all things. It is the Christ that died upon the cross. But in one sense, it's really not the same God. Amen. If I believe that there is a Jesus Christ that paid for the sins of all of his people and they are secure today, and somebody else is teaching something that says, well, they're really not secure unless we get all the preachers over there and do something for them, that's not really the same Christ, is it? Totally different God. And you look at these different ways that people view God today, and it is very different. So God defines himself by his holy word. If you want to know to get a good caricature of Christ or of God, read the Bible, and he'll tell you the things that he loves, the things he hates. And the church is identified by the doctrines that we have in here. One person told me one time, well, you know, the doctrine's really not important. And I thought, well, if doctrine isn't important, what are you believing? I mean, the doctrine establishes the faith in which we believe. So we've got to have some things that we believe. So let's look at this verse one more time, and I'm going to go into some detail in this verse, and we're going to look at some other verses, primarily this morning to establish this fact that is, it is important for churches today to go back to the Word of God and to hold fast the principles that were taught to them from the very beginning. It's not up to us to decide what we want to believe. We have a Bible. So he says to stand fast. That means to hold on to what God has given us in his word concerning our belief and practice. And that means to be stationary. It also means to persevere in these very things in the face of a changing world. You know, we see things change around us. And what is it that people usually want to do when they see things changing around them? Well, they want to change. You pick up a fashion magazine and you see somebody wearing something. The fashion is changing. I remember back when I was in high school, the fad was paisley shirts. You know, everybody wanted a paisley shirt. Well, it started changing and then it changed to something else. Well, that's the way it is in the church today, is people look around and they say, well, you know, it looks like that's working for that church. They've got their church downtown now, and they've opened up this building where people can come in and drink coffee, and it looks like people are changing the face of the church. So let's go do that ourselves, and maybe we'll get some more people come in here and do this. Well, that's what's going on in Christianity today. Rather than looking at the Word of God, people are looking at what other people are doing, and they're doing what seems to be popular today so that they can have a church. So we're going to stand fast in what is given us. We're going to persevere. And he said to hold on. That means to retain possession of. Now, don't we want to retain possession of truth, of what is given us? We don't want to let it slip from our fingers or from our knowledge or from our grasp as God's people. And the opposite, of course, of holding onto something fast is departing from it. Departing from a truth, departing from a practice, or even a compromise. You know, the world is good at getting us to compromise a little bit. Just compromise a little bit in this area. It's really not that important. You know, just make a little compromise here. Well, the Lord doesn't want us to compromise anything. He wants us to trust Him. No matter what's going on around us, we're just supposed to. How many times in the Old Testament do we see that God's people are just supposed to trust Him, even though no matter the enemy may be prevailing, no matter what's going on, we're supposed to just trust the Lord. Now, while we see the face of Christianity changing around us at such a rapid pace, I want to ask you this morning, where do you think Christianity is going to be in 100 years from now? If we see things changing as much as it's changing today, where is it going to be in another 100 years? I was the other day, I was thinking about the old Sears catalog I used to get when I was a kid. I don't know if you remember the old Sears catalog or not, but when we were kids, the one I loved the most was the Christmas catalog. It came out once a year, and it had all the toys of that year on it, and we were allowed to circle something that we wanted our parents to get us for Christmas. And so anyway, I thought I would love to see one of those catalogs again, because I want to see if some of those toys that I got back in the day are, I want to see them again. I want to see what that catalog looks like. And so I got on eBay, and they had catalogs for sale. They're like $160, but they had a zip drive. They had a zip drive of the catalogs that you could get for $5. So I thought, now, which years do I want to get? I want to get 58. I was 6 years old then. I want to get, you know, 1962, maybe 64, right through there, you know, just my young teenage years. And I want to look in this catalog, and I want to see some of the stuff that I saw back then. Well, a zip drive comes in. I couldn't wait to plug that thing in and look through those pages and everything. And it was fun. I saw a lot of the neat stuff that was available when I was a kid, some of the things I'd actually gotten for Christmas. But while we're talking about changes, I want to tell you something. There was a huge change in the Sears and Roebuck catalog from 1958 to 1964. You know, you had a color, you had a black and white TVs for a long time. Finally, they had a color TV in there. You had these little AM transistor radios. Well, finally, you got to the FM transistor radios. You had people that was all black and white at first in the catalog, and then you had the color catalog. But the point I'm making is the changes. And one of the changes I noticed in the very first catalog, it had a bunch of little kids dressed there in these really nice little outfits. And it said, children in gay clothing. And I thought, well, now, how would that sound today if they put that on a catalog? They'd probably burn the factory down. But you see how things are changing in our society today? And just imagine if you look at Christianity today and think of the things that we see being changed. Now, Paul says to stand fast and hold the traditions that you have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. Now, the word tradition there is something that can be taken two different ways, and we need to make sure that we understand what the apostle is talking about. The apostle is not talking about man-made traditions. Our people probably, and I can criticize our people. I've been around a while. Our people have probably been some of the worst people at hanging on to man-made traditions. Now, there has been some good things in that, in the fact that we haven't changed very rapidly on anything because of these hanging on to things. But some of the man-made traditions that people have actually brought up is like, you know, I had one person tell me one time, our forefathers worshipped in a brush arbor. We don't really need a church building. And I thought, Paul and Silas sang to God in a cave or in a jail cell. Do you want to go worship in a jail cell? You know, there was a day in which our people were very poor, and they couldn't contain some of the crowds they had in the church, so they built a brush arbor. But that wasn't anything that was biblical or divine. It was just something they did. And you go back and you think of some of the other traditions that were man-made that we had among our people. One of them was meeting one Sunday a month. And I'm thankful that, you know, we have seen that our people have realized that that was an error. Sunday is the Lord's Day. It's the day that Jesus Christ rose from the grave, and we are supposed to be worshiping Him together in His house every Sunday. Now, I do realize there are a lot of people that were worshiping every Sunday. If it was here, they would be here. If it's at Sardis, they would be there. If it's at Macedonia, they'd be. But there's a lot of people that didn't. They just, you know, said, well, I'll go to church one Sunday a month. Well, it's God's people. We're supposed to be in church every Sunday. But some of these traditions were man-made traditions. When Paul uses the term tradition here, he's referring to something that is divine. In other words, it was instituted into the church by Jesus Christ Himself. And He gave it to the apostles, and the apostles gave it to the church. That makes it divine. Anything that wasn't given to the church by Jesus Christ is a man-made tradition. So we have to remember that whatever we're talking about, when we're going through these eight things, they need to be addressed by the Word of God. And that's all that we're interested in this morning. So he said, whether by word or epistle. So these divine traditions were infused into the church, first by Jesus Christ, and then by the apostles and other preachers, by word or by epistle. And by word, the apostle means that I was there personally, and as a person who is called of God and one of Christ's apostles, I taught you myself. And we understand that the apostle, when he would preach, he would be preaching straight from what Jesus gave him. And the epistles, of course, would be these Pauline letters, something that we have read from him, or Peter, or the Apostle John, or Matthew, Mark, Luke. Any of the writers of the scriptures are inspired of God. They're infallible. And so these are the things that we are to base our traditions, the divine traditions, upon as God's people. And so if we're going to go to these things and we're going to learn from those things, then we have a Bible, right? We have a church, and the church is to be governed by the Word of God. Not by what I say, not by what somebody else says, but by, that can settle all arguments if we go to the Word of God. One of the beautiful things that we see, Meryl and I were talking about this morning on the way to church, is how the church historically, God's people, always get off track. I mean, it's, you know, that just, we're prone to do that because we're all prone to want to do things our own way. We're all prone to look around us and say, well, maybe this is better than something that God has given us. And you remember in the Old Testament, when God's people, they wanted their own king. And God said, I am your king. They said, no, we want to be like all the other nations. We want a king like they have over in Egypt, and we want a king like they have over in Syria. And so God gave them a king, and he gave them Saul, and from there on, three kings down, we're about to get to that in our study of the Old Testament, their kingdom was divided, and the enemy came in, took their land, ransacked the temple, took all their golden vessels that Solomon had, and they became captives and slaves. But there came a time that God revisited his people, and he let them come back to their homeland over in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. Those are great books to read. And so the Lord brought them back to their homeland, and Ezra was trying to establish the church again over there. And Nehemiah was trying to build the walls around the temple. Ezra was was one of the ones that was helped to build the temple again, and then Nehemiah helped to build the wall around the temple. But when they got it all done, they wanted to go back to the Word of God. And Ezra had the book. I think it seems like it was one of the only books they still had. And so he got all the people together, and they wanted to return back to the principles that their forefathers had years ago so that they would understand what God wanted of them. And this is over in the book of Nehemiah in chapter 8. And so they got this day together, and they're all going to meet and have a meeting like we're doing today. And so they decided Ezra is going to read from the the Bible, and he's going to teach us once again God's word that we departed from. They even admitted that that's why they lost their homeland, was because they departed from the word of God. And so we get over here, and Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation of men and women and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. Now notice, this is mothers and fathers and children. They're all together there. This is the teaching of God's word. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Now, you might think an hour sermon is kind of long, but they were hungry for the word of God, and they were there from morning until noon to hear the word of God. And the men and women and those that could understand and the ears of all people were attentive unto the book of the law. So they were very attentive because they really wanted to know something from the word of God. And that's really a sign of repentance, isn't it? That they now came back and they wanted to know something from the scriptures. And so Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which he had made for this purpose. So he's got this little pulpit up here, kind of like this, you know, so he can get up so people could hear him. And so he opened the book in the sight of all the people. And I like that because he wants everybody to know, I'm reading from the book. This is not something I'm making up. It's coming from this book. And he opened it and all the people stood up. To me, that just shows the respect that those people had for the word of God. They wanted to know it. They wanted to know the truth of it. And they were ready to hear what the word had to say. And Ezra blessed the Lord and the people. And they answered, amen, amen, lifting up their hands to worship the Lord. And he calls to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. And they read in the book in the law of God distinctively, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Now, my friends, that is preaching pure and simple. It's reading from the word of God. It is giving the sense of it and helping people to understand the reading of the book. Remember when Jesus Christ preached himself, he went into the temple and he opened up the book and he read from Isaiah and he explained it to the people. That's how simple church is. Church does not have to be complicated. You can just come in, read from this book, explain it to the people, and now you are worshiping God because you are worshiping through his word. And that's the way that we worship God and we learn. And so the response that the people had that had not heard the word of God in such a long time, they were so hungry for the scriptures. He said, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. And so these people, they wept just to hear God's word preached to them in their presence once again. It was such a precious thing to them. And so as he was teaching in this book, they came across this place of something that they were supposed to be doing that they weren't doing. Now, sometimes you can do things you're not supposed to do, and sometimes you're not doing some things that you should be doing. But he came to this place, it says, they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. This was the Feast of Booths. So this was a thing that they were supposed to be doing, part of their ceremonial law. We don't do that anymore. And so the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one of them, upon the roof of his house and in the courts. And so they got these leaves, palm leaves, and made these little booths. And they were supposed to, I think it was to depict that they were outcasts at one time. And so they did this for a night. And so they obeyed the things that were written in the book that God had given them. And so as we're going through all of this, it's the same thing. You want to bring the church back to zero again, to point center, to bring it back to where it needs to be and all of the things that we do. And so we have a Bible. We want to do the things that are contained in the Bible. We want to follow these things. And you know what? In our articles of faith, they're on the wall out there. And one of our articles of faith says that we believe the Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. That means our faith, what we believe, our practice is how we worship. And so this book is, now should we have anything else? I mean, are there any other rules that any, I mean, would we want to go back and find something that somebody had written somewhere and say, well, we're really going to incorporate this into the Bible? We like the Bible, but really we feel like these things other people have written are just as good. No, God's word is sufficient for our worship and for our practice, not man-made tradition. So we're not going to look back 100 years. We're not going to look back 200 years. We're going to look back all the way to the very beginning of the Christian church when this book was first written by the inspired men of God. So we're looking at standing fast and we're looking at holding traditions. Now let me give you some other scriptures where I want you to see the importance of this, of us standing firm in the things that are true. You go over to 1 Thessalonians then, go back a book, and the apostle says, and it's just amazing to me that he's written this to them twice. So I'm thinking this must be pretty important for the church at Thessalonica. If he writes it once and then he writes it in the second time, they must be a people that were kind of, you know, moving off of the mark in the way that, in their doctrine and practice. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Well, what is good? Well, of course, the scriptures are good, right? The truth of God's word is that which is good. And he wants us to prove it. Anyone can prove the things that I'm telling you today. And the way that you prove it is by comparing it to the word of God. Right? Right. In Acts 17 and 11, the apostle mentions the people at Berea. He says they were more noble than those at Thessalonica because they searched the scriptures daily to see if those things were true. So when they would go and preach at Thessalonica, at Berea, they would search the scriptures, and it's amazing they're more noble than those at Thessalonica. Where we just read from a minute ago? Thessalonica. Those are the ones that he's telling to prove all things. He's given them twice. Well, the Bereans weren't like that. When Paul would preach there, or anyone would preach there, they would go to the scriptures, even though this was an apostle, they would go to the Bible and say, I want to know if what this guy's saying is really true. And they were noble enough to do so, but they were also noble enough to make a change. You know, there's a lot of people. You can give them the scriptures. You can show them exactly where it is. And I'm going to give you some things during this study. And I'm going to show you how plain they are, and yet show you that there are many Christian churches that totally deny it flat out. But it's a sign of Christian nobility to believe and to change with readiness of mind, it says, the scriptures daily. Now, when Paul was writing to this young preacher named Timothy, and this was where we kind of got this from the other night in this meeting with the Filipinos. Notice what Paul tells this young boy. 2 Timothy 1 and 13. If you're making notes, this is where this is. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Of course, sound words are God's word. So I'd ask you this morning, what is your faith based upon? Or do you have something that you're basing your faith upon? Do you have just kind of a fuzzy feeling about God and about Jesus and you know a few things? But, you know, you got to be careful if that's your faith, because sometimes you can be criticizing things that are actually the truth of the Word of God. So Paul is telling Timothy to hold fast these sound words which you've heard of me. So Paul has been very careful to teach Timothy the word of God. And we might look at some of the things that the apostle has taught Timothy that are our practices in face of our own church. Hebrews 3 and 6. The apostle, again, I believe the apostle Paul writing to the Hebrews. He says, but Christ is a son over his own house. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end? So there is an if there. You know, we want to be his house. We want our place to be a place where Christ will come and tabernacle with us, that he will enjoy the preaching, the teaching, the way that we worship. But it is possible that you can depart from the truth, and we're going to see this in just a minute, and you may have a name, but you may not be a church. There's a lot of churches that have a name that they're a church, but they're really not a church. And the reason that they're really not a church is because they're really not teaching the truth about Jesus Christ. You may say, well, that's a pretty harsh criticism that you're making there, because I know a lot of good people over there that are in some of those churches, and so do I. And I know a lot of good people that were over there in the day of Nehemiah that were doing things that weren't correct. I know a lot of good people that lived in the days of Jesus Christ that rejected Christ. Some of them crucified him. So you see what I'm saying? Christ has a place where he'll place his name, but it needs to be a place that is teaching the things that he wants us to teach. So we don't want this to be an if for us, right? We want to be doing the things that are taught in the Word of God. And we're not supposed to be ashamed of those things, regardless of what's going on around us in the world. You know, we don't have to hold our heads down and say, well, you know, I just wish everybody would see it the way we see it. Well, I want them to see it the way we see it. And I would teach them the things if they really want to know them. But I know that everybody is not going to embrace the scriptures as they are taught. Somebody might say, well, you interpret it your way. And we kind of interpret it our way. We just kind of interpret it differently. Well, let me just say this. There's only one interpretation of the Bible. You know, you can't interpret it five ways. A truth is a truth. And so somebody might say, well, you know, it doesn't really mean the same thing in English as it does in Greek. Well, if it doesn't, then you don't even have a Bible. If the translation into English isn't the same as the Greek, then we hadn't had a Bible for thousands of years. This book means the same thing in English as it does in Greek. You don't have to be a Greek scholar. That's why the Lord gave it to us, because he doesn't expect us to be. When you read in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, do you need somebody to give you the Greek on that? Or the Hebrew? No, we know exactly what it means. So it means what it says. In Hebrews 4:14, the apostle again makes this point to the Hebrews. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. You see, this is an emerging theme in the scriptures, and no wonder that it is, as I've said before, because we are prone to depart from the truth of God's word. Again, Hebrews 10 again, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. So I believe that particular refers to church membership. Hold fast to the faith of your profession. So, this comes through in many of the Pauline epistles. But let me just look at the book of Revelation for just a moment before we close today, because I want you to see Jesus Christ speaking to the churches in Asia. And, you know, this is, some people have this book in different time zones, you might say. People believe this book was written prior to 70 AD. Some people after 70 AD, that, you know, we know the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. Personally, I believe it was written prior to 70 AD. I believe here are some warnings to some churches, but, you know, we're not really sure when it was written. We don't have any extant texts that, you know, we say, well, this was written on this particular date. But, you know, either way, it is the truth of God's word. In Revelation 2:25, this is to the church at Thyatira. I'm just going to give you one verse here. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. Now, they already had some things that were true. And the and this is Christ. These are red letters. He's telling them to hold on to those things till I come. He's going to come in judgment of this church. Now, we don't know everything that's going on in this church. There's some metaphors here, I think. He says, you've got Jezebel, a prophet, to seduce my servants, involved in fornication and etc., and you're allowing this to go on within the church. And so I want you to see that the Lord walks through the seven golden candlesticks, as we see in the very beginning of this, that he knows what's going on in the churches. He knows what's going on in the lives of God's people. But there were some good things that were going on in this church, and he wanted them to hold on to these things until he comes. Again, in Revelation 3:3, the same statement. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Now, we know historically that one of the worst things that can happen to a church is for the Lord to remove his candlestick. That means his presence, the light of his word, the understanding of his truths. And that's something very important to a church, because you can have a name, but you may not be a church. And there's one of these churches here that's mentioned that that's exactly their problem. Again, Revelation 3 and 11, he's speaking to the church here that is at Sardis. Behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. So we see that this holding fast is something that's important. And I'm going to address things that we need to hold fast onto. And Brother Dan's going to be preaching next Sunday. But following that, we're going to go into those eight things that I've given you. I don't know if I'll take one per Sunday or whether I'll deal with two of them on a Sunday. It just depends upon how our time goes and how much information I have for you. But in closing this morning, I just want to say it has been, 2,000 years since Christ gave these things to the church. And remember what happened to Israel. That even although they went back during Nehemiah's time and Ezra's time, and they did rebuild the temple, but yet what happened to them? They fell away again from the truth. And it was 400 years. 400 years God did not speak to them again. It was silence from God. And it was 400 years, and the next person that preached to them was John the Baptist when he came preaching in the wilderness along the River Jordan. And I thought to myself, why? Why did God not send them anybody else? Well, obviously, if they're not going to listen to the prophets, why would he send them anybody else? I mean, he sent them prophets and they told him everything they were doing wrong, what they needed to do, how they needed to repent, and the false gods they were worshiping. They turned a deaf ear. And that's a lot of what we see going on in Christianity today. We have a book. God has spoken to us through his word. We have principles that we are supposed to follow. But I am wondering how long that God's people are going to turn a deaf ear to the things that are written in the Word of God. So I appreciate your attention this morning as we have hopefully tried to set up this series of messages that we're going to be bringing to you. If you're interested in the Bible, if you want to know why we worship, if you want to know how the Bible addresses these things, then I encourage you to be back and be with us in the weeks coming. If you're here today and you've not made a confession of Jesus Christ and you would like to be a member of this church, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This has been Elder Neil Phelan, Jr., preaching from regular Sunday morning services.